We'll talk about that later. In any case, over in London, Rob Watson is joining us. He's a BBC security correspondent to talk about former British resident Binyam Mohamed. He's being released from Guantanamo and is returning to the UK. His case says a lot about what happened during the Bush administration among those detainees in Guantanamo and suggests that if the Obama administration is going to do something different, the details released by Binyam Mohamed, if he actually speaks publicly, may indicate just how much distance there needs to be between what went on during the Bush administration and what is at least extrapolated to go on under the Obama administration. Rob Watson, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be with you, John.
How significant is the emergence of Binyam Mohamed in public in Britain today?
Well, it certainly won't have been the first time that it's happened. We've had other British nationals and British residents released from Guantanamo Bay, and Binyam Mohamed is perhaps one of the most controversial. It's certainly not the first time. I think perhaps what people are looking out for are these stories that he has lost a great deal of weight, and clearly you can imagine that on television that's going to make some pretty dramatic pictures.
And he claims that he was tortured while in CIA custody. I mean, it's not as though that is a revelation, although I'm just wondering, in his specific case, does it shed light on anything in particular involving CIA policy and CIA treatment of detainees?
Well, as you say, that certainly wouldn't be the first person to have been detained by the United States in the war on terrorism who had alleged torture. What really makes it controversial in this country, and I guess in this way it sort of highlights the problems that the partners of the United States face in their intelligence cooperation, is that he says that the allegation is that the British authorities were somehow complicit in his mistreatment. Now, what's meant by that, and indeed it's been discussed in a British court, is that British intelligence had supplied information to the CIA, which was then in some cases possibly passed on to other people who'd been involved in questioning Binyam Mohamed, because he was taken. He was first arrested in Pakistan, where he was questioned. He was then taken to Morocco, then to Afghanistan, and then eventually to Guantanamo Bay. So the controversy here in Britain is, well, we'd like to see, there's been applications made in course to release some of these documents for us to know, well, what exactly did Britain's intelligence services know about the conditions under which Binyam Mohamed was being kept?
Well, let's talk about who he actually is. I mean, in theory, I gather he was a high-value target in the Rumsfeld days. Does he still represent that? And what is his particular connection to the war on terror that might have motivated his detention?
No, he doesn't count as a high value a target anymore. But interestingly, there was a judicial review in this country in August of last year, which sort of said, look, you could kind of understand how, why the British authorities reacted the way they did in the light of, it was just after, it was in April 2002 that he was captured. It was, of course, in the context of 9/11, and the British authorities were passed information that he'd been in training camps in Afghanistan and that he was in contact, allegedly, with senior terrorist figures, or certainly figures that the United States and Britain were concerned about. So they said it was understandable that the United Kingdom, UK intelligence, would want to help in his questioning. But of course, as things have turned out, where he seemed a bit more of a small fish, that's in a way where the controversy now comes, given the treatment that he is alleged to have received over the last 7 years.
Perhaps the takeaway here, though, relates to what might likely emerge about what British intelligence did in his particular case, particularly in terms of its cooperative arrangement with the United States in helping take him to black sites, possibly in Morocco, and that was a policy that, when it was revealed in the UK, was very, very controversial. Do you think it's possible that if he does talk, that it could be very embarrassing to the British government in the way that it did cooperate on extraordinary rendition, and that other governments are likely to see this and it could affect U.S. policy with a whole range of governments?
Well, I guess the way I'd put it is, it would certainly gets that sore rubbed again, because, as I'm sure you're well aware, John, the whole issue of extraordinary renditions and the extent of our government's cooperation with the United States government has been very, very controversial here. So, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that the sore will be rubbed again.
And that could affect governments such as Poland and places in East Europe who were involved in that.
I think it's difficult to say. I mean, each case is very specific. I mean, not all of this is a mystery. I mean, it is known that MI5, Britain's domestic intelligence service, was present at one interrogation of Binyam Mohammed in Pakistan. Absolutely no suggestion that any sort of torture was involved, not at all. And it's certainly known that MI5 provided sort of lines of questioning that might be taken with Binyam Mohammed after he, if you like, disappeared off the radar, after he was no longer in Pakistan and British intelligence didn't even know where he was. So, look, I think it's you know, individual cases can be individually sensitive for individual countries, but I mean, I guess the general point that you would raise is that whenever cooperation between the intelligence services of countries comes out into the open, you know, it's bound to be something that they feel uncomfortable about, even if there are cases where perhaps nothing particularly untoward has happened. It's just not something that governments are very comfortable about.
Finally, Rob, I don't want to get you to speculate. I mean, I know you're not comfortable with that, but do you get a sense that the Obama administration wants to keep Guantanamo as a kind of a special case and not use it to be a sort of a generalized policy for the treatment of detainees around the world? I mean, we've already seen in Afghanistan the Obama administration suggesting that detainees there have no rights in particular. Do you think they want to confine the Guantanamo experience to just this one place?
I think what's become clear is that they wanted to make a clean sweep on Guantanamo for very obvious public relations reasons, legal reasons, but I think that the move on Afghanistan shows you that the Obama administration sees this as a very complex, not one-size-fits-all problem.
All right, Rob Watson, thanks so much for joining us, BBC security correspondent in London, on the issue of Binyam Mohammed, who is arriving in the UK today and could possibly shed light on his treatment by the CIA when he was a Guantanamo detainee. We're always on, and we're looking, as we've mentioned all hour, for a six-word motto to help America get through 2009.
Good morning. Joe from Bourbonnais, Illinois. My motto is, remember, tight wallets sink companies.
My six-word motto for the United States is, freedoms require responsibility, happiness, work, and change.
Six words. It's a lot of words. But good suggestions from our audience. You can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Our friend and Freakonomics blog author Stephen Dubner joins us tomorrow with his favorites. Your takeaway? Well, that's easy.
You don't want Obama fatigue. You don't want him to be too oversaturated in the market. Yes, there are issues going on, but, you know, he has to find a balance so people will listen to what he has to say instead of just saying, oh, here he goes again.
It's April Ryan from American Urban Radio Networks looking for Obama fatigue. Do you think it's out there? Join us on The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.